Hi, you're listening to Sunday Service coming from St. Columba's, Derevolgi in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. You can connect more with us by visiting our website and derevolgi.com or liking our Facebook page. Hello and welcome to St. Columba's Derevolgi. If this is your first Sunday with us, we want to give you a really warm welcome. We hope you feel at home in your home with us. My name's James and I'm the minister here in Derevolgi. As we begin each Sunday, one of the things that we normally do is that we read a portion of scripture over us as a congregation. We are scattered normally, coming together as a gathered community to worship and to praise and to spend time together. This is a different situation where we remain scattered, even though we stay together through mediums like this. So I want to read some portions of scripture. Today they come from the allotted psalm for today, which indeed is Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. Now there's a rousing call to come to worship the living God. Mindful that we don't worship a God who is dead. This is the second Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter, the second Sunday after Easter Sunday. The grave is still empty. The tomb is still empty. He's still alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we worship a God who is alive and who is well. And that is what makes our worship and Christianity distinct from any other of the world religions. We worship a God who is alive and who is well today. So let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you. The opportunity to be in your presence and collectively together. So, Father, in this space at this time, we pray that as we gather in your presence, we may hear your voice loud and clear in your name. Amen. Amen. Mindful that we come before a God who is forgiving, who went to a cross of Calvary on that first Good Friday to die for you and for me, to take away our sins. So we come before a God who is holy, who is just, recognizing our own standing before him as we pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image, to his praise and the glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Each week we normally have a little moment for the children who are with us before they leave for their own activities. I normally invite the children to come up to the front, so can I invite you to do that in this moment? And I say that with a smile on my face, because as I've said before, we see those little photographs or video clips of the children coming up and sitting down in front of the TV screens whenever I'm inviting them to do that, feeling that they're a part of what it is that we're doing in the normality of what they're used to. Normally, there's some kind of object going on in these talks. Today, I had went to a very famous shop that you may have seen on the high street. Sometimes, if someone doesn't see something correctly, they might need to go to an optician's. That's right. And sometimes if people haven't seen something, there's a little advertising campaign from one of them that says you should have went to Specsavers. That's right. There's unbiased advertising for just one of them. Of course, any optician would do the same job. So I'm trying out a new pair of glasses today. So if you bear with me, I'll be able to get them on. Okay.
Now, I hope you're not laughing. Now, you see, these are very special glasses, not only because they don't fit properly, but because they help me see clearly. I can see you much better now. What do you mean? There's no lens in them? Oh, no, there is. Look. Oh, so they're not proper glasses, they're fake glasses. But proper glasses do help us see better, don't they? Proper glasses are, whenever we put them on, they help us sharpen our vision or our focus, so things are no longer blurred. This is the second week that we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 33. In this passage, Moses prays the bold prayer today of, show me your presence. That we would see God more clearly. I wonder, how do you see God? What do you need to do? Do you read your Bible? Do you read some stories from the Bible and hear about what he has done? Do you pray every day asking him to help you and to help your family? That's two ways that we can see God more clearly. So if you wear glasses or you see somebody that does wear glasses, remember that you need help to see God more clearly too. And the best way to do that is through his word. And so we're going to turn to God's word now. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 33.
Moses sees the Lord's glory. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favourably on you. If it is true that you look favourably on me, let me know your way so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favour, and remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favourably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth." The Lord replies to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked me, for I look favourably on you and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name Yahweh. Before you I will show my mercy to anyone I choose and my compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious of our presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and I will uncover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen."
So this is the second week that we are looking at this series called Show Me, a series that is looking at Exodus chapter 33. Because in Exodus 33, Moses prays a bold prayer. In fact, he prays three bold prayers. Last week we looked at the first one, "Show me your way, O Lord," or "Teach me your way, O Lord." Asking that God would put the pieces of a jigsaw together to show us his purpose. Asking not about the situations around us necessarily, but asking about what God would have for us in this moment. And today's the second of this. Whenever Moses prays, "Show me your presence." Now, we have to be mindful that at the beginning of Exodus chapter 33, God had said that he was going to be faithful and true to his promise of allowing the nation of Israel to inherit the promised land. But because they turned away from him yet again, they made this golden calf and they turned away so disdainfully from him, even after all he had done for them in releasing them from Egypt, God said, "I can't go with you." So Moses goes to the tent of meeting and he begins these bold prayers before God. And the second of this is, "Show me your presence." In fact, Moses says it so emphatically in verse 15. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." In other words, Moses was saying, "God, if you're not going with me, if I don't have the knowledge of you going with me, then I don't want to go anywhere." That's a powerful, powerful prayer. Moses' focus was so intent on the living God that he was prepared not to do anything else or go anywhere else without him. Now, we find ourselves in a period of lockdown, and a period where we are, our movements are restricted greatly. We find ourselves in this period sometimes with lots of questions, and we have to allow the scriptures to speak back into those questions and to create a balance in the midst of this chaos and this turmoil. God says to us today in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you and not to harm you." But he goes on after that to say that we need to turn to him, to follow him intently. Last week we heard that Joshua, Moses' young assistant, lingered in the presence of God. And our challenge from last week was that we were to linger in God's presence. How did you get on with that this week? Because actually we're finding ourselves with maybe more time on our hands. But what are we doing with that time? Are we binging on TV shows? Watching movies? Spending more time on social media? Or are we using that time wisely and rightly? If we are living with other people in our household, we spend more time in conversation. More time with our families. Are we lifting the phone? Are we having conversations? Are we interacting and connecting with people in a different way? But more important than that, how are we using this time to linger in God's presence? How are we using the time that we have been afforded in this moment, in this crisis, in this worldwide pandemic, to pray these bold prayers? Show me your way, O Lord, and show me your presence, O Lord. Now, Moses prayed that prayer, "Show me your presence." Let's hear it again. Verse 14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, that's really important. In God's presence, we find rest. Sometimes we ask ourselves the question, how can we truly rest? I found a really good book by a guy called Mark Buchanan called The Rest of God. I'd recommend it. But in that book, Buchanan encourages us to step back and to rest in God's presence. And in a period whenever we have been forced to step back from many things that we believed, thought, held close that were very important, we realised maybe they weren't as important as the focus that we were giving them. And so to pray, "Show me your presence," is also to pray, "God, give me the rest that not only my physical body needs, but that my emotions and my spiritual needs." Because in the rest and the presence of God, we find all that we will need. Because God knows you. God declares in Psalm 139, "He made you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows all the hairs in your head. He knows how many grey ones I have." It's easier to count the black ones. That's why I said he knows how many grey ones I have. And so this presence is really important. Not only because it gives us rest, but read on in Exodus 33 to hear really important why the presence of God should be a part of our daily activity. Verse 15. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go up with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" It's God's presence that distinguishes Moses and the nation of Israel from all other peoples on the earth. It's the presence of the risen Christ in ye that distinguishes ye from the rest of the people around you. That's what makes us as Christians unique. 1 John 4:4. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The presence of the risen Christ, the power of over sin and over the grave, the very presence of a God who is alive and who is well, it's that presence, it's his presence that distinguishes you and I from everybody else. That's what makes us unique and different. And so whenever we pray this bold prayer, show me your presence, O Lord, we're praying something very, very bold indeed. And we know that presence is really important. Being present with someone is one of the most important things that you can do. As I've said before, for people to know that they are known and loved by you and by Jesus might be the most beautiful legacy that will come out of this awful mess. That people know that they are known and loved by you and by Jesus will be the beautiful legacy that will come out of this awful mess. Because your presence is important to other people. So stay connected. Stay connected with each other through whatever means, memes or technology you need to use. Stay connected. Look out for each other. Because as you stay connected with other people, the presence of the risen Christ is the flavour and the aroma that you carry with you into those situations. And it's not because of you. Actually, personally, it's not because of me. It's not because of James Boyd or anything great that he might be able to do. Often it's in spite of James Boyd that God does his best work. And maybe, just maybe, the situation that we're finding ourselves in is the one that is resetting and reshifting our focus back to searching for his presence and back to the understanding that we carry his presence with us. So last week, I challenged and encouraged you to linger in God's presence. And to pray that bold prayer, show me your way, O Lord. Today I want to re-emphasize to linger in God's presence, but to know that as you linger in his presence, as you steep yourself in his presence, and if you want to know more about that, look out for the wee video that we put out a couple of weeks ago about the tea bag and the cup of tea, and how as we linger in God's presence, the strength and the flavour exudes within us. So whenever we interact with other people, we carry the very presence of the living Christ with us. And that brings peace and rest and grace and forgiveness and hope into the very places that need it most. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have chosen us and that you have called us. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us your presence to be with us. You have not left us alone. You didn't simply die and evade us or leave us, but you died and rose again. And you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us until you come back. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for your presence amongst us. As we thank you for your presence amongst us, we want to thank you for those who know you and who love you and who are currently on the front line keeping us safe and looking after us. And so we take a moment to pray for someone that we know who is on the front line, who is working in an essential service to ensure that this province, this country continues, but to also ensure that we are able to live, to go about our daily routine. And so we pause to pray for those individuals. Lord, we also want to pray for those who grieve today. We want to pray for those who are a part of funeral services and funeral directors, who are having a particularly difficult time at the moment as well, as they compassionately deal with families in an unusual set of circumstances. And Lord, we know that grief and saying goodbye at a funeral service is a big thing in this part of the world in which we live. And so we pray for those families who grieve at the moment and who are finding it difficult because they're unable to say goodbye in a normal way. For all those who have the opportunity to speak into that and to graciously minister within it. But Lord, we also want to thank you that you're the God who speaks into our situation and brings hope and light and life into places of despair and darkness. And so today we want to thank you that actually the darkness has not been able to overcome the light, that you are still shining, and that actually you're shining brighter than ever. And so as we search for more of you, that we pray that you would reveal yourself to us in increasing and abundant measure. Show us your presence, O Lord. We pray these things in the mighty and in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'd love you to continue your journey with us. You can find out more on our website at deravolgi.com or on our Facebook page. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to get in contact. It's info@deravolgi.com or 028-925-282-42. You'll find all of that information on our website as well. Please do continue to watch out for the little videos that we're bringing out and for the other opportunities to connect together. And come back again this time next week, 10:30, as we look at the third in this series. And we've looked at Show Us Your Way, Show Us Your Presence. Next week, it's Show Us Your Glory. So please continue to read Exodus 33 as we do that. But I want to finish today with a prayer, a call out of today, written a long time ago, but it speaks right into our very heart of where we are today. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.